recently imposed tariffs on imported steel are helping domestic steel manufacturers, but they're causing headaches for some grain exporters. Dan Spray of member station WUWM reports from the Port of Milwaukee.
More than 3 million tons of gravel, salt, and other materials move through this port at the southeastern tip of Milwaukee. Ships the world over pull alongside one of three concrete piers stretching 1,000 feet into Lake Michigan. Then workers unload the cargo. Today, they're using forklifts to move steel pipes and plates into one of the giant warehouses that sits on the pier. Eric Reinelt, the port's marketing manager, tries to get as much of that material through the facility as possible because it's labor-intensive and generates the most revenue. But Reinelt says orders for steel products plummeted last year when the Bush administration hinted it was considering tariffs on imported steel.
And as soon as that hit the press, purchasing managers who buy these products literally stopped buying them because this inserted a risk into the pricing mechanism.
Once established, the tariffs curbed the flow of imported steel, giving a boost to the domestic producers. But many of the same countries that sell steel to the U.S. also buy American grain. After foreign ships have their steel unloaded here, Reinelt says they stop off at grain elevators and fill their empty hulls with corn, wheat, and soybeans before heading home.
I mean, these traders are trading on halves of a cent on a bushel of grain or on a pound of steel. And the lack of a ship in a particular position, either to bring in grain or take out steel, just throws everything off.
If there's not a ship available, grain exporters might send their products on barges or rail cars to a port like New Orleans. But New Orleans, like most major U.S. ports, has also been hit hard by the lack of ships bringing in foreign steel. Grain exporters were already struggling with low prices and high supply before the steel tariffs exacerbated the problem. Richard Blaylock is operations manager at Chicago and Illinois River Marketing. He says it's a simple problem of supply and demand.
If grain's not doing anything, and if nothing's moving, nobody's buying, the price is going to go down.
The company's grain elevator and storage bins, which tower nearly 20 stories, are almost at their capacity of about 3 million bushels, so the plant only accepts grain for a few hours each day. Blaylock supervises as trucks pull up to the facility, which sits amid mountains of salt and railroad tracks lining Milwaukee's inland harbor. A 15-foot-high mechanical arm extends over the truck, dips a probe into the grain, and uses a vacuum to remove a sample to be graded. The vehicle is then weighed before the driver opens the two hoppers underneath the truck's bed, unloading more than 50,000 pounds of soybeans into the grates below, where it's eventually funneled onto a conveyor belt and then to the grain elevator. Blaylock says workers at their Milwaukee operation have loaded only two ships this year. That dismal demand is felt most significantly by dock workers. Doug Kubik is an official with the local Longshoremen's Union. He says workers are holding second jobs to make ends meet.
The men that are here started back in the 60s. This has been their lifelong careers, so to speak, and they're just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, really.
Business will likely pick up a bit in the early fall as more foreign steel is shipped into U.S. ports now that the price of domestic steel is rising. But until then, grain dealers, shippers, and dock workers like these in Milwaukee are watching their expenses and trying to stay busy. For NPR News, I'm Dan Spray in Milwaukee.